So, Genesis 45, and...
Because somebody's here, right?
It was like that last week when I came in.
Oh, okay.
Let's pick up in verse 5. I think that's where we left off with Joseph saying, "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." And he has had to go through a lot to understand that. Verse 6.
For the famine had been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest.
Okay. So it's been 2 years now. They ran out of grain pretty quickly, didn't they?
Because they didn't get the word.
And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. It is dark over here.
That is going out.
That.
And that is out.
Yeah. So, verse 8.
So then it was not you who sent me, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt.
Yeah. So Pharaoh is turning to Joseph, trusting in what he says, and trusting the running of the kingdom to him. Okay. Verse 9, hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. Verse 10.
You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have.
There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. Verse 12.
You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you.
Yeah. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and all that, and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Yeah. This that he says, and all of this has been building up for years, hasn't it? Verse 14.
Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck.
And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. such a reunion. Okay, verse 16.
When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, Joseph's brothers have come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants.
Did Joseph tell Pharaoh how he got to Egypt? We don't know this, do we? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan. Verse 18.
Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land.
So he obviously thought quite a lot of Joseph.
Oh, yeah. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, do this. Take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Verse 20.
Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours.
Yeah. You don't have to pack up every tiny little thing. Yeah. The sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the journey. 22.
To
each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping.
Well, they're the
two true brothers.
Children, yeah.
Yeah.
Judah.
They're not half-brothers.
Yeah.
To his father he sent as follows: 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. 24.
Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, "Do not quarrel on the way."
Sounds like something my mother would say.
Well, I mean,
two boys fight.
I mean, you know,
said that quite a lot last week.
What started all of this? What started all of this is the quarreling, right?
Uh huh.
Okay. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. 26.
They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt." Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them.
Ah. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. 28.
Israel said, "I am convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die."
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, finishes chapter 45. Some of these chapters are coming quickly right now. Chapter 46, verse 1. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And Beersheba would have been the place where Isaac had settled, where Abraham had lived for a while. And so back through Beersheba to thank God. Verse 2.
And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I."
Okay. Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation." And so God continues to give the promises and the blessings. Just looking at Beersheba, Beersheba, Beersheba.
I'm interpreting a seminary class right now for the Deaf Institute of Theology, Ethnic Immigrant Institute of Theology. And one of the points that the instructor is making is that first the land was promised to Abraham. Then when Israel went into Egypt, he became a nation. So God made him into a great nation. And then when they were back in the land and had a king under David, God made them an everlasting kingdom. So it went from just a people to a nation to a kingdom. And
a
that
promise.
Kingdom.
First the promise.
Right.
People, right?
Promise,
yeah,
people,
yeah.
Nation,
wow.
Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Israel
and,
is Isaac.
Okay, in
Jacob.
this map, Beersheba is on the way to Egypt. Just wanted to check that he wasn't going north and then south again. Yeah.
South into the Dead Sea.
Okay. Let's see. 3. Did we do 4 yet?
No.
Verse 4.
I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again. And Joseph's hands shall close your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry them. Verse 6.
So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him.
Mm-hmm. His sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, all his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. Verse 8.
Now these are the names of the descendants of Israel who came into Egypt. Jacob and his sons. Oh, great. Oh, I can get those.
Yeah, you can get that
Jacob's
one.
Jacob's firstborn.
Yeah, you just get the firstborn.
Reuben, Jacob's. And the sons of Reuben, Hanak, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. There's a story there that we don't know about. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, Perez, Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar, Tola, Puva, Yob, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Jalil. These are the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Paddan Aram, together with his daughter Dinah. Altogether his sons and his daughters numbered 33. The sons of Gad, Ziphion, Haggai, Shuni, Ezvan, Eri, Arodi, Areli. The sons of Asher, Imna, Ishva, Ishvi, Beriah, with Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Malkiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and these she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore to him. And the sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Eshbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The sons of Dan, Hushim, or the son, yeah, sons of Dan, Hushim, period. That's it. The sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shillem. These are the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and these she bore to Jacob, 7 persons in all. Verse 26.
So he married the priestess, priest's daughter, huh?
Yep. Oh, wait. Who married the priest's daughter? Joseph?
Joseph.
The daughter of Pharaoh, Potipharah, the priest of On. Yeah, the priest's daughter.
So that would be not a Hebrew, right?
Not a Hebrew, an Egyptian. There's...
Married outside their...
Or not Rachel, huh? Rebecca.
Married outside of them.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of marrying outside of. Who did... Yeah. Jacob's sons marry.
Then Jacob had Leah.
They didn't
Rachel.
All go back to Laban's house.
Yeah.
Leah and Rachel.
So at that point, it's spreading out and...
Jacob and Esau were Isaac's.
Yep.
Okay. Hard to keep it straight, isn't that? They were rather prolific.
Yeah, very.
So, verse 26 is where we pick up.
All the persons belonging to Jacob who came into Egypt were his own descendants, not including Jacob's sons, wives, were 66 persons in all.
Mm-hmm.
So not including the sons' wives, but all the ones that were
right
his offspring.
Right.
So there were sons' wives also.
And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were two. All the persons of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt were 70. Okay. Which, of course, is a good biblical symbolic number. Verse 28.
He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen.
Mm-hmm. Land of Goshen.
Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Verse 30.
Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are alive."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, if you didn't understand what it meant and you read it in the NASB, Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, and know that you are still alive." Sometimes the wording, anyway, yeah. I like that version better.
Yeah.
Joseph,
it's dark over here.
It is.
Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me.'" Verse 32.
And the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all they have, that they have.
When Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" Verse 34.
"You shall say, 'Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'"
Ooh. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. How do they eat then?
What?
Food. Where do the Egyptians get
it? No, you know the business of sheep versus cattle.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Range wars out west. And
so the Egyptians prefer the cattle than the sheep.
Shepherds were hated by the cattlemen out west. Why is that? Anybody know?
Because they ate up
all the grass. Up.
Yeah. The sheep graze closer to the ground than the cattle. And so it leaves the cattle without. And, you know, the grass has to grow back much longer for the cattle to be able to have anything to eat. And there were range wars out in the west of our country.
Until they put the barbed wire up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the shepherds still were lowly when Jesus was born, right? They still were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe the Egyptians were vegans.
Yeah.
Yep.
Vegans.
Okay. So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, "My father and my brothers with their flocks and herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. They are now in the land of Goshen." Verse 2.
He chose five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh.
Not all 11?
I'd be afraid of what they'd say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trust them.
He picked the ones that cleanest, you know. were
the least likely to blurt something inappropriate.
Right. Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Left Reuben at home, huh?
Reuben tried to
protect him. That's true.
Judah tried. Benjamin was his. That's a good three to start guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. So verse 3, Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were." Whoa. Were they supposed to say that?
Joseph told them to.
Yeah, what did he tell them to say?
Your servants have tended livestock
keepers
from
livestock.
Our boyhood.
Oh, livestock.
Yeah. Say, we've been keepers of livestock from our youth. In order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.
Yeah.
What is your occupation? Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were. Okay, verse 4.
And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land, because your servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen."
Mm-hmm. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you." Verse 6.
"The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock."
Oh, well. He's being very generous, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, Joseph made them wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Joseph made Pharaoh wealthy, and he will make Pharaoh much more wealthy in the years to come.
Wouldn't it be better that the brothers were honest about...
Yeah.
They were, because
yeah.
With the spies and whatever, it could have come back on Joseph that he didn't tell them the whole truth, and you know,
and
said, go back to where you came from or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he wants this kind of. Kept a little bit quiet exactly what they do.
Yeah.
Then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and stood him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh.
I says greeted. Or a footnote says greeted.
Yeah. I'm going to go with blessed. Because... he is aware that he has been blessed by God. And Pharaoh's been kind to Joseph. In verse 8.
And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many are the days of the years of your life?"
And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning." Verse 10.
Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 130 years, they've been short.
Back then they lived longer.
Yeah. Okay. And what was it, about 21, 22 years from the time of Joseph being in the pit to here. And so Jacob was well over 100 when the whole business started.
His father Isaac died at 180.
Yep.
Abraham.
And the genes continue to decay and go faulty, and we die. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Verse 12.
Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children.
Okay.
Ramses.
Yeah. Looking for footnotes on land of Ramses.
In the pyramids?
In the.
Yeah, there is.
You want me to read it?
Mm-hmm.
In the region of the land of Goshen, where the city of Ramses would later be built. That's all it says.
Yeah. Where the city of Ramses would later be built.
Correct.
And, of course, who writes the book of Genesis under God's guidance?
Moses.
So, we talk about early settlers in the United States and how they moved into land that would later be such and such state. Okay. Or they went up to the river to where there is now such and such city. Mm-hmm. So that's very normal for books that have history in them. Okay, and then verse 12. Oh, we read that. End of that section. Now it's time for Pharaoh to get really, really rich. Now there was no food in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine. Verse 14.
Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace.
So they've got pretty much all the money.
No, you have the land.
Yeah.
Verse 15. Oh, and when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? For our money is gone." Verse 16.
"Then bring your livestock," said Joseph. "I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone."
Okay. Well, so they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the herds, and the donkeys. He supplied them with food in exchange for all their livestock that year. Verse 18.
"And when that year was ended, they came to him the following year and said to him, 'We will not hide from my lord that our money is all spent. The herds of livestock are my lord's. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our land.'"
Mm-hmm. "Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we with our land will be servants to Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, and that the land may not be desolate." Verse 20.
"So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For all the Egyptians sold their fields because of the famine was severe on them. The land became Pharaoh's."
So now he has all the money, all the livestock, all the land.
Real capital.
And the people.
"As for the people, he made servants of them from one end of Egypt to the other." So they are the property of the crown.
Sounds familiar. Is that how they... That's not how they became slaves. No.
That's all of Egypt.
The whole country.
His own people?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, when centralized government wants to centralize more, it can always find something more to take from you, can't it? Huh. Until it owns you. And that's history. Verse 22.
Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had a fixed allowance from Pharaoh and lived on the allowance that Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land.
Mm-hmm. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land."
So Joseph's family were from Canaan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now they don't own their land anymore.
Well, we don't know this. Because they had an allotment, and Joseph gave them an allotment. So they may have been about the only people that did not have to sell everything to Pharaoh. They were sojourners there.
Because that would kind of put them in the position Joseph had been in when he was sold to.
And yes, it would put them in a favored position. Now, what are you going to do with these foreigners who are in a favored position in your land?
Hide them.
I'm sure nobody really understands.
Well, no. In Egypt. And there are a few instances of an influx of foreigners into Egypt that threatens the ownership of the land and who the name Egyptians is going to actually refer to. And the Egyptians that were already there each time did not take kindly to it. That's part of the history of Egypt. And if you have the Israelites being a favored people and everybody else is selling their land and selling their flocks and herds and the Israelites have theirs, it's going to cause resentment. And the people of Egypt will be wanting to do something about those foreigners.
Even up the tally.
And that's where the book of Exodus starts out. Where are we? Oh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. So it looks like this is right at the end of the 7 years, and now all the land, all the flocks, all the herds, and the people themselves belong to Pharaoh, and Joseph is now opening this up and saying, "Now sow the land, and there will be a harvest." So, verse 24.
"But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households and your children." Four-fifths.
20% tax rate. "You have saved our lives." And they said, "You have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh." You know, because when there's a wise person and you can either be on your own and dead or follow their lead, you're going to follow them. Verse 26.
"So Joseph made it statute concerning the land of Egypt, and it stands to this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth. The land of the priests alone did not become Pharaoh's."
Okay. To what day? Whose day? Moses' day. Okay.
It's interesting, though, because Pharaoh put a one-fifth tax on the Egyptians during the plentiful years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really changing.
I was going to say, I thought...
Well, there was no tax on the lean years.
No.
Yeah.
But now there's a fifth tax again, so it's not really changed. It's
And they'll accept it, won't they?
Pretty much the same as it was.
Because it saved their lives the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. Verse 28.
Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147.
And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt." Verse 30.
"But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do as you say," he said.
Mm-hmm. "And he said, 'Swear to me,' and he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his..."
Bed or staff.
Yeah.
Now, in 28, where it says, or I'm 27, the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. There they acquired property.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was all Pharaoh's.
Nope. They had an allotment, and they were favored, and Pharaoh would have had certain of his inner group having property. And that's just the way it goes. Everybody else.
Okay, centralized Hebrews, government, is that what you're saying?
Hebrews 11, verse 21. Hebrews 11. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Something about the head of his staff and the staff having a symbolic significance and representing much of what had happened in the life of Jacob, and bowing in worship over the head of his staff acknowledges that all that I have, all that has happened to me, is in God's hand. The staff is a symbol of authority and of strength. So all of his strength and all of his authority is bowed before the Lord. Shall we go on? After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Verse 2.
"And it was told to Jacob, 'Your son Joseph has come to you.' Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed.
And Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me.'" Verse 4.
"And said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.'"
Mm-hmm. "And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are." Verse 6.
"Any children born to you after them will be yours. In the territory they inherit, they will be reckoned under the names of their brothers."
Okay. Do you know what that does?
No, I have no idea what that means.
When they go back to the land of Canaan, there's going to be the land divided between the tribes. And at this point, it would be 12 tribes. But now, Ephraim, and Manasseh, each are named as a full tribe.
Oh.
With full rights, full possession. There's a double portion being given to Joseph in the persons of his sons.
Who was their mother? An Egyptian?
Yeah.
Potiphar.
Yeah.
Potiphar's daughter.
Okay.
So it's still 12 tribes that inherit the land, though, because Levi doesn't have land. They're the priests.
Oh.
So they have an allotment.
They
have an allotment from the people, mm-hmm. and the people support them with their sacrifices and other things. So they don't live in a land that they raise because they're mm-hmm. priests.
And in fact, going through a quick run through of how things develop, Levi becomes a landless tribe of priests. Simeon becomes incorporated into the tribe of Judah. So the boundaries are very muddied and they're just there together. There's a third tribe that becomes part of that grouping, happens to be the tribe of Benjamin. And while Benjamin has clear borders on the maps that you see of Israel mapping in the Old Testament, many of Benjaminites would have simply become a part of the territory of Judah. And then moving further on, when there was the breaking away of the northern and southern kingdoms, you read, if you're looking for it, that there were a lot of people in the northern 10 tribes. 10 tribes, which 10? If you got Judah and Simeon and Levi and Benjamin incorporating in the south, well, other parts of Benjamin and
Ephraim, Manasseh, Levi
and all of those up north. But there were a lot of households in the northern tribes that did not want to go off and worship a golden calf. Which, Solomon's son, Jeroboam was the one that seized the northern tribes and set up golden calves so that they wouldn't go south to worship at the temple. And they got out of there. So the tribe of Judah became a tribe that held all kinds of different tribes within it.
Well, one tribe was the wives of
mm-hmm.
some of them died. I can't remember who was that.
I think it's the tribe of Benjamin.
Was it Benjamin that died?
And then Dan was not able to conquer their territory, and so they switched from there to another place. And it's just all kinds of history running through there. But that's in chapters 49 and 50. Where were we?
Seven.
As for me, when I came from Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Okay. Verse 8.
When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?"
Joseph said to his father, "These are my sons whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Verse 10.
Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them.
And Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your offspring also." Verse 12.
Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be young.
Yeah.
If they're sitting on his lap.
Yeah. Well, actually...
So it must have been later that he took a wife. And not in the early
years.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
You want me to read what it says in the study Bible?
Sure.
It is strange that those two men of such size and age were in the... This is according to Luther, by the way. Were in the embrace of Joseph's father. I think, however, that the son sat beside Jacob while he was lying on his bed. Moses calls this sitting in his embrace or at his knee, namely at his side or at his feet. Therefore, Joseph orders them to rise from the side and falls on his knees with both of them before Jacob, who was sitting on his bed. This was the custom. They received the blessing on bended knees and with the gesture of worshipers.
It's
according to Luther.
That's
you gotta be right.
That is no. That's really good.
Yeah.
Which Luther very often is just really good in his insights.
So there's probably one sitting on either side of him on his bed.
At his knees.
On his knee.
Okay. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Because Manasseh is the older, so on the right hand of Jacob. Verse 14.
Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn.
Mm-hmm. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day," verse 16,
"the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth."
Ah. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Verse 18.
Joseph said to him, "No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head."
Mm-hmm. But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." Yeah.
Just like Jacob and Esau.
Exactly. So, verse 20.
So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, God made you as Ephraim and as Manasseh."
Thus God make you.
God make you. As Ephraim and as Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh.
Mm-hmm. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your fathers." And verse 22.
Moreover, I have given to you rather than to your brothers one mountain slope, and I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow.
Mm-hmm. Hebrews, Shechem, which sounds like the town and district called Shechem. But
do we ever know last names in here?
Didn't need last names until he got more people. And before that, it became so-and-so of town.
Mm-hmm. Well, and wasn't it their trades, too, a lot of
then the trade became.
Yeah, so-and-so. Ben Jacob. Oh, yeah. Joseph Ben Jacob. Son of Jacob.
Yeah, they would have been known by their father's name. First name, only name. And then when trades became, you got Cooper and Cohen, Cohen for priest, Cooper for what?
Metalwork, yeah. Right?
Tanner.
Yeah. And on and on and on and on. The naming by the son, or naming by the father's name, held on longer in Scandinavia. So you have Johann's son.
John's son.
Tom's son.
Tom's son.
Except I don't know what that would come from.
Tom.
Where's the P come in?
It just to slide it over on your tongue. Yeah. Tom.
Hey, when you're creating names, you do things.
All right. Well, a lot of names changed over the years. Letters were added.
I have a friend whose name was Kathy Thompson without the P.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My main name was Line, L-Y-N-E, in the beginning, but we've always been known by Lines with an S on it.
Mm-hmm. What the derivation of my mom's
name was. Yeah. Osmond and Osmond. Munson without the D, and then you got.
There's a lot of different spellings around.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the spellings were changed in one branch of the family to keep that branch distinct from another branch, or they weren't related and everybody was confusing them, and so one dropped a letter or added a letter.
Well, that was the Narviks in town. They had the brothers had a business and had a dispute, so one went by Narvik with a V and the other went by Narwick with a W.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shechem was a refuge city, right? Years later?
It could have been. I don't remember.
My Old Testament teacher referred to it as the belly button of the land. It's the place that God showed to Abraham and said, you will inherit the land.
It's better than the armpit.
Yeah. Decatur?
No.
We could go on a little into 49, then we'd be sure of finishing.
Who was Leah's first son?
Leah's first son would have been Reuben.
Reuben, okay. I get mixed up between those and Sarah and her handmaidens.
Mm-hmm.
Son was Ishmael, right?
Right.
Right. So, good thing to get the 12 tribes map out here. Okay.
Family tree.
Yeah.
So getting into chapter 49, and it's very significant because in those days, it was understood that when a parent pronounced something on the child, they were pronouncing the destiny. There was something about the child that they saw or knew and tied in with spiritual wisdom. So Jacob could pronounce certain things on his sons and have those taken as prophecies later on. And again, the book Genesis is written by Moses. So this is before they've gone into the promised land and actually divided up the land that these things are told. So, then Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come. Verse 2.
Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel.
Okay. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Unstable, verse 4.
Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed, then defiled it. You went up to my couch.
Yeah. Just pause quick, footnote.
Is that because of Joseph? Because he told about Joseph being dead?
Nope.
Is that what he's talking about? No.
Reuben. Luther. Reuben should have had the honor of being firstborn, namely the priesthood and the kingdom, but now both are taken from him, and to Levi the priesthood is given, and to Judah the kingdom. Unstable as water. He had a weak nature, as can be seen in his incest with Bilhah.
His failure to rescue Joseph and his craven offer of his sons.
Okay. Verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Verse 6.
Let my soul come not into the council. O my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen.
Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Remember, Simeon became incorporated into the territory of Judah, and Levi were scattered as priests throughout the land. Flashes of temper and anger and violence.
So Levi is a priest even after all that?
Well, God chooses, and he alters the course. And if the tribe of the Levites had not become priests, what would have happened to them, we don't know. But they stood up and came to Moses at the incident of the golden calf. Okay. Verse 8.
Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you.
Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who dares rouse him? Verse 10.
The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his.
Messianic promise.
Yeah, it's a messianic promise. Slight revocalization yields, until he comes to whom it belongs, Hebrew, until Shiloh comes, or until he comes to Shiloh.
Peace. Peace, Shiloh.
Until he comes to whom tribute belongs.
Yep. Verse 11, binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. Verse 12.
His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk.
Okay. And each point in there is connected to messianic hopes and prophecies. The colt and the donkey's colt, or foal and donkey's colt. Garments washed in wine.
Makes them purple.
the blood of grapes. I have trampled the winepress of the anger of God. And this is connected to Jesus. Who is this that comes from Eden? Edom is a song in an old hymnal that talks about Jesus conquering over his enemies, including Herod and all his raiments washed in blood.
Grapes of wrath. Battle of Shiloh.
That particular hymn dropped out of the newer hymnals because of the militaristic and bloody imagery. But Jesus, as he is victorious over the devil, a battle has been fought. There is bloodshed, there is defeat, there is somebody lying slain. And as Jesus rises victorious, the promise is made of the slaying of his enemies. And we do not dare forget that, because we are in a world where there is spiritual conflict and warfare. And one side or the other is going to be defeated and die. So, more on that perhaps next week.